at School Show. Fred at School Show.
Fred Film Radio for Fred at School. We're back. We're back for the final and fourth show of the international show for Fred at School. And then we did it again. The students watched four films all around the eight European countries. They produced their own opinions, materials, gatherings, and then they sent it to us as a radio material. And we've been listening to them, and we've been delighted by their response. And let's start first from the film, which this time is Io Sono Lì by Andrea Segre. And as usual, I will not confuse you with some random blabbering about my thoughts of the film, because, of course, we have our beautifully detailed clip that will sum up everything and more about Io Sono Lì by Andrea Segre.
Fred at School. Io Sono Lì. Shun Li and the Poet. After being presented at the Venice Days event of the 68th Venice International Film Festival, Io Sono Lì, written and directed by Andrea Segre, was distributed in Italian cinema theatres in September 2011 and thereafter in a number of European countries, including France and Spain. It is the story of a female Chinese immigrant in Italy called Shun Li, who has to work hard in a textile workshop in order to obtain the document she needs to bring her son to Italy. It won three prizes at the Venice Film Festival, including the FEDIC Award, awarded by the Italian Cine Club Federation, for the originality of a story that skillfully weaves fiction and documentary and gives us an effective and convincing portrait of today's reality. Often in the Venice spotlight, starting with presentation of Dio era un musicista, God was a musician, 2005, dedicated to African culture, Andrea Segre's work has revolved from the outset around the issue of the marginalization of certain peoples and the search for their specific ethnicity, attempting to bring into focus their encounters with different social forms. This was true of his first documentary, Lo Sterminio dei Popoli Zingari, Extermination of the Gypsy Peoples, in 1998, or the later Come un uomo sulla terra, As a Man on Earth, of 2008, centered of the experiences and suffering of migrants en route to Europe. Not forgetting Il Sangue Verde, Green Blood, which reconstructs the events and violent clashes in Rossano in the Reggio Calabria province, where several hundred migrants demonstrated in the streets of the city in January 2010 to protest against discrimination and wretched living conditions, setting vehicles alight and battling with the police. Io Sono Lì marked Segre's first outing as the director of a feature film, in which, however, the filmmaker's documentary sensibilities emerge with great intensity. In particular, through a photographic style that was very careful to exploit the depth and complexity of real settings. This striving to stick to the social reality is apparent in the fact that the bar where the main character, Shun Li, works actually exists in real life. It is the Osteria Paradiso in Chioggia, in the Venetian Lagoon, a haunt for the fishermen who inspired the most important encounter in the film. This establishment is actually run by Chinese immigrants. As Segre himself emphasizes, the film is based on a true story, a real encounter with a Chinese girl who worked behind the bar of a tavern frequented by Chioggia fishermen. Watching her provided ideas for the story. What sort of relationships would she be able to establish in a region like mine, so unaccustomed to change? From that real encounter, the idea arose to fictionalize the story. Among the director's most recent works, very much in line with his interests and his poetry, the documentary In Debito, Undue Debt, in 2013 should be noted, in which an artistic tour of the Italian musician Vinicio Capossela become the opportunity for a passionate analysis of Greek culture and society in the years of the financial crisis. La Prima Neve, the first snow, also released in 2013, is the story of a citizen of Togo who emigrates to Italy and goes to live in a mountain valley, where he establishes a strong bond with the local inhabitants. Come il peso dell'acqua, like the weight of water, was produced to mark the anniversary of the 2013 tragedy in Lampedusa, in which 366 migrants were drowned.
And here we are, back from the clip, and as I said, we're going to start this show with a very special guest, and indeed we have Francesca Feder. Welcome.
Thank you, hello.
So, Francesca, you were part of the production of the Io Sono Lì, which is the film that we're going to talk about all throughout this show. And first thing first, tell me about the first time you heard about the project, and also what made you say, you know, I must be part of this.
Okay, I was luckily invited to something which is called New Cinema Network in Rome, which is part of the Rome Film Festival. It's every year you have in a different country around the world, like Cannes, Rome, Venice, Rotterdam, Berlin. You have this market, a co-production market, where I sometimes go. And as I'm a French producer, I went there because I have a lot of interest in Italy, being half French and half Italian. So I was at New Cinema Network, I think it was October or something, like it's in 2008.
Right.
And, that's where I look at the first book of the project. And obviously I read a pitch about a Chinese woman getting in the Laguna close to Venice. And this immediately talked to me like an evidence. I was completely enthusiastic, and it was almost the only project I wanted to read, to know, and to understand.
Wow.
So, and for me, I just finished at that time a film in China, and I did also a film in Korea. So I was very attracted by this, I would say. And I met at that time, for the first time, Francesco Bonsignante and Andrea Segre. And very luckily, I started introducing myself, and I started to tell them how the, you know, I was completely sure about how the project should be and how it's going to work and this and that and that. And I think nicely enough, the day before the shooting, Francesco remembered that to everybody, because they didn't exactly knew what they were going to do, and they were hoping to meet some people, and I was hoping to meet some people. So at the beginning, you never know. And at the end, I think that was the first meeting that we had, the three of us. And I think they thought they met a crazy French woman. Told them, yes, it's going to be, you know, it's cinema, and we're going to find money here and there, and we're going to do this and that. And then they got the prize for the best project.
Wow.
And that was the second encouragement. So from there, it was 2008, and from there we start working
on that. Because I was imagining, especially for Io Sono Lì, that it was a sort of more a networking co-production system, but maybe it just all started from New Cinema Network, as you said.
Yes, no, the markets, those markets are just there to, I would say, matchmaking, which is in a nice way. They put in relation project with professionals. So then after you have to start working, you know, just, you know, just meet the person. And then the work started in 2008. They had the first version of a script, and we kind of agreed on the co-production with Francesco and myself, so with Yole Film and Eternal Film. So we became co-producer. Obviously, strangely enough, we worked, and then we have the phase of development of the script, and we had not a lot of version at that time, but we had, I think it was the third version, quite quickly, after a few months, less than a year, and we presented to Arte in France. It was the first, so the film started from France and not from Italy.
Oh, wow.
If some Italians, even if they had subsidy afterwards, and then we had all the rest of the financing, obviously, between Italy and Rai and all these things. Rai was interested but didn't say yes at the beginning. It was a long procedure, as always. And then from there, we started to build up the co-production with different partners, but mostly French and Italian. But at that time, Eri De Luca, the writer, collaborated to the script also. but the script was also very good and very well written, which sometimes you have scripts with more difficulty to get money and it's longer, but this one is quite good also.
It seems there's a sort of a peculiar fil rouge into the film, and especially the project and the production of it, which is the familiarity of the contents with the people involved. In fact, you know, Andrea Segre's studied in Chioggia because it was where his mother was from. And you said that, like, automatically when you heard Venice and the whole kind of surrounding, you just jumped into it. So as a film viewer, you know, also the producer, so you were, you know, directly involved into the process. But when you watched the film, what you really felt as almost as just a simple kind of, you know, the classic cinema experience?
Yes, I have to say that for me, but to explain something to you, which I think it's important, but that's mm-hmm. it's the same thing from the beginning to the end. Yeah. As a producer, then it's your job, you have something that has to keep you strongly for the four next years. You know, mm-hmm. it's like you start and you work for 4 years. And for me, that's what we find, and that's what you're saying very well, is that some project have it, and some project have it less or for different yeah. reasons. In You Sono Lì, I was really attracted by this worldwide, even down, you know, down of your building. It could, you know, it was local, as you say, but also it speaks to everybody. Mm-hmm. For me, I get very, very, I would say, attached, and I was very touched by the friendship between yeah. these two lonely people. Because I can see the guy from my supermarket downstairs becoming friend with somebody. It was just that thing. Now he's a fisherman, he could have been a guardian of a building, and you know, these two loneliness which find themselves in, you know, are sensitive people,
yeah.
and which find themselves into this magic surrounding, but that, and it's completely worldwide. And that was, for me, I was very attached to the friendship of these two people. And that was, for me, something that has no time, has no... It's not a fashion film, you know. Oh, this film is speaking about something. This film will still be working in 10 years.
Yeah.
Or in 20 years. Because it will... luckily, it will speak to, you know, to people who are lonely, to some poetry, to some, you know, vision of the world, and mm-hmm. to some sharing and some feelings. It has simple feelings, I think. It's very important.
Thank you so much, Francesco. That was fantastic. Thank you again for being with us here at Fred at School. And now we're going to just stop by for a very short break and back again with a lot of other guests.
Fred at School Show.
Fred Film Radio for Fred at School. And yes, so we had a wonderful introduction. And now, we, as usual, we are here with our coordinators. And the first conversation will be with Oddný Sen and Nick Walker, respectively, the coordinators of Iceland and UK. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So, perfect. As usual, let's hear the students first. So our conversation will start from there. And I kind of gathered and patched a bit some of the opinions and the thoughts regarding the characters of Io Sono Lì. So let's have a little listen.
Chun Li and Beppi are two lonely souls suffering from loneliness and the loss of their loved ones, and share a passion for poetry.
Beppi is a fisherman and a poet. He is from Pula in Croatia. He moved to Italy 30 years ago.
The main actress that is very different to the other actors on the other films we've seen. And it's a Chinese girl that she's very quiet and calm. Although she doesn't speak a lot, she's very expressive.
One of the characters that interested us is Lee's roommate. She's a figure that made us ask, what is her precise role? Is she simply a secondary character or anything more?
Okay, so as you can see, it was just a bit of a kind of a scattered thing, and also I left it at the end about one of the Italian schools, I think the Magrini Marchetti. They were trying to think about the other characters rather than just the relationship that we have between Shuli and Beppi. But first thing first, so I'll just ask you guys, first Oddný and then Nick, of course, ladies first, about like the characters approach, because that's, you know, one of the beautiful things about Io Sono Lì, or translated Shuli and the Poet, is the ambiguity and the sort of like the constant sort of, you know, like the platonic relationship that we have. And in some way or another, it kind of confused the students, or maybe we have different interpretations according to the school that, you know, that talked about it. So first, Oddný, can you tell us just a bit about how the Icelandic students talked about the characters?
Well, the Icelandic students really loved this movie, and I think it's safe to say that most of the schools sort of thought it was the best film that they had seen in so far in the project. And it really sort of got to their emotion, this relationship. And I think that, you know, in all the movies, the students have been very sort of struck by the how the immigrants sort of live outside of Iceland, and this sort of brought a new perspective and introduced sort of more poetry to them. Or this is sort of my impression that I got, and I didn't think they misinterpreted the relationship between Chun-Li and the poet. I think they for the most part they really got it.
Of course. And Nick, moving on, instead of regarding the UK students, because I know they were really, really taken and moved by the film, so they're really kind of into the story this time, which was really pleasing to hear.
It really was. I was really worried that they were going to have a kind of not a negative experience on the whole process, but they didn't like any of the films, but they loved this film. They really felt very emotionally connected to it. I think exactly what was just said before, that it the relationship, I don't think it was confusing for them at all. They really understood the platonic nature and the idea that marginalized characters could, in a way, their relationship develop possibly through that initially, and that their relationship to outside social groups almost brought that relationship, you know, to the fore. And so they had a strong empathy with the characters. They also really liked them, and I think that's the thing. Suddenly, obviously, they can relate to, in some cases, the separation to her son, but I think they really liked Beppi more. I think they were very sad for him, that he's quite an old and quite a fragile person and has had violence and, you know, terrible things happen to him. So I think they could really relate to him in an emotionally connecting way. They felt like they knew them, actually, and I think that was the overriding thing. So it was lovely to hear the students' reaction. I really enjoyed that.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, please, Oddný, continue.
No, I agree with Nick, and because they, for the first time, except for Ilika, they the students really could relate more to the characters.
Yeah. Very true. And I actually said it about the confusing part, because, for example, as you pointed out, both UK and Iceland didn't really mix the sort of relationship with it. But, for example, Italy and, Spain, a school, I think it was Toreros, and also Croatia, they were really discussing about the concept of love. So as an openly, you know, as a blatant sort of relationship between the two characters, that it was, you know, they had to be a couple in a way. So it was just sort of like, in a way, the idea of like discarding the possibility of not really being a couple or something that can be platonic. And I kind of like that as well, the fact that like we need to establish some sort of certainty into this, into the relationship itself. But speaking more broadly, what I think was really needed for the students after the sort of journey of Fred at school for the first year was a sort of going back almost to the roots of their own familiarity with filmmaking, because in a way this film still has a solid structure, some characters that you can really empathize with. And also, for example, simple things such as the music, you know, the evoking music that leads us through, also emotionally speaking. And I thought it was a great idea to finish the sort of the journey that we had since Illegal with this film, just because in a way going back a bit to an idea of conservative filmmaking can also make them then relate with different types of films that, for example, Plato's Academy or Illegal represented. I just wondered if you agree with this, or, for example, you just think that it was just something just, you know, strictly bound to the emotional power of this film.
Well, I think this is the perfect film to end on as part of the fall, because some of the elements in the previous films had been about small communities. It had looked at xenophobia and identity, and it also particularly looked at sort of stereotypes around the geography, you know, the look of a certain place, you know. And then previously we'd seen Greece in a way that wasn't really the sort of the picture postcard version of Greece, and students really remarked upon that. So this, in a way, it's although Venice, you know, is a beautiful city, this didn't look at that in that way. And so it was, again, taking something that students had already had a little bit of an example about and played with that. And so the students, I think, were able to understand that a little bit more. The fact that they lived on a very small, it's like a lagoon, you know, in the Veneto Island. Again, that small community, it brought out the sort of regular just ways of living, which is kind of, it's not boring, but it's not action packed. And I think that was perfect, because again, we'd seen that in other films before. So this kind of unresolved nature of filmmaking, and the kind of not necessarily beautiful aesthetics or sort of perfect sort of storylines finishing, was something that students had got used to. So I think that's one of the reasons that their students enjoyed that a lot more. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that the relationship was so beautifully done. I think it was a study of friendship, and you're quite right, it was done in a very the friendship blossomed through the poetry, really, I think. And the students really got that.
Mm-hmm. And Odni as well, for the Aslangdi students, this film probably was the one that they felt most attached to, and you know, they made them think a lot. I guess it was really spawning beautiful conversation amongst them.
Yes, and I also like to. I think it's very interesting what Nick was saying about the location. Mm-hmm. And in Iceland, as you know, we have really small, remote places, and some of the schools are from that, like the Grunnskóli in Hólmavík. It's a very remote place in the west of the country. So, but they thought that Venice should look totally different, and Italy should look totally different. So they sort of did not relate as much to the location as the other schools did, and as the students of Nick did.
Yeah.
But they totally, it was the film that got them the most emotionally.
Mm-hmm. And also to conclude, so, you know, we showed four films, the students reacted in so many, you know, the spectrum of reactions was incredibly vast. I really, really enjoyed that. But you as coordinators, you know, after this sort of, you know, this summary of the first year, what do you think we can kind of pinpoint about the project that we also learned? So not just the students learning, but we as, you know, the observers learned from their way of looking at films.
Well, I think that this is sort of a work in progress, and I think it's gone off to an incredibly good start. It started, the quality has improved so much from the first film and the first show, at least for, you know, in Iceland, and from what I've heard when I've listened to the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that they are learning so much more about film literacy, and they are learning, I think that with the last film now, they have been learned to look at the poetry in movies.
That's
like one of the girls in Österbergskóli was saying that I observe that when Shun-Li is writing to her son, there are shots of the sea and boats.
Very
so
true.
Referring to the poetry. And I think it's a really, really huge sort of step from the first show, when they were just sort of talking about how they were talking really about just what the film was about and how immigrants were treated. It's sort of, they have now reached a stage that sort of poetry in the movie is sort of speaking to them. And I think that is a really great step to achieve.
That's so true, yes. And you, Nick, what do you think?
So yes, I'd really echo those sentiments. The students absolutely found themselves to be much more confident, certainly with subtitles. That was a bit of an issue initially in the UK, and they hadn't really watched many or if any foreign language films at all. But that soon went. that was not an issue after the first film, really. They certainly felt much more cultured. I think the films took them to places and having other views that they were being exposed to, again, probably for the first time. So they were looking into other people's worlds, and that was a really good thing, I think. That's certainly what European cinema, any cinema, really can do. But these issues, they're not really thought of too much before. So the general feedback was that they were much more open-minded. They certainly have a different perspective on European cinema. Mm-hmm. And I know that the teachers and the students right at the end from the school said that they regarded the process itself very beneficial, the experience of giving knowledge on the process of recording. So initially there was a few giggles and they were a little bit unconfident mm-hmm. with that. They were just saying what came into their mind afterwards, after the first film. It made them think more carefully. They took a little bit of time to step back and not just considered other areas of the filmmaking process, but about the issues, and by the last film about the play on how film can be used in a very poetic sort of sensibility as well. So they were using better language to express what they felt about the films in relation to what they were seeing within the films. And I think that was just so beautiful, really.
And that's great. Let me thank you, first of all, guys, for being with me all throughout this four little episodes in our international show. It was a pleasure. And of course, I'm going to be seeing you next year with more films to watch, more students that are going to follow Fred at school. But in the meantime, let's just stop for a little break and then come back with us here at Fred Film Radio.
Fred at School Show.
Fred at School, we're back. We had Odnisen and Nick Walker for the first conversation with our coordinators, and now we take it on with Simone Moraldi and Gonzalo Suarez, respectively the coordinators for Italy and Spain. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So, we started earlier discussing the characters, which were vital, especially with this film, Io Sono Lì, but now we're just going to listen to a short clip, always, you know, with the students' opinions, regarding the director's message, according to them.
For me, this was the best movie of all of them because it shows like how far can go a mother for her son.
It's a drama which promotes multiculturalism, and that's what makes it activistic.
The film is interesting because it shows us that immigrants in most countries are exploited, treated like numbers or puppets.
Sono Lì sounds the same as the title in Italian, Sono Lì. With that, we think that the director wants us to see that the protagonist fights to be seen as part of a community and not ignored by everybody.
Yes, I really liked this movie, and it was touching, and I'm just proud of them for making it. That movie made me think.
And we're back, and I would start with Simone, because, you know, this film was set, at the end of the day, in Italy, in Chioggia, and therefore sometimes students, especially that are acquainted with the culture and, you know, the people behind, the places behind it, then they have some sort of a different take than somebody, say, from Iceland, for example. They would have never imagined somewhere around Venice to be like that. So, Simone, just kind of, if you give me, like, sort of brief analysis of how you think the students overall in Italy took this film on?
Yeah, it's a crucial matter for the work students did in Italy because, well, it was the first film which was set in Italy, and I saw a very strong difference with the analysis of the other films because the students, in a more or less, all of them, even coming from other regions, even coming from the south of Italy, they put in relationship with the cultural setting of it. So there was a school in particular which was from Veneto. And in their clip also there was some references to their belonging, a cultural belonging, also because the film raises some questions about the cultural identity of Italian people and the foreign, because the Italian characters of the film are very characterized, but and they are a sort of analysis of a stereotypical or a typical character of that part of Italy, but there is an image of the man, of the male character, of the some kind of people that you can find in places like the ones described by the film, that some students analyze also, and it was interesting to see how these characters were shared by the whole people from Italy, not only from from that specific part of Italy. You know, Italy is a very heterogeneous country. There are several, maybe you can find a big, big difference in terms of cultural awareness, for example, in mm-hmm. people described by the film and in people coming from other regions. And also the dialectic between the center and the periphery is very strong, because the setting of the film is not a big city. It is a small mm-hmm. city, also if it's close to Venice, which is quite a big city, but it's also set in a region, Veneto, that is quite a problematic. Where problematic? Veneto is is the region where the right winged party Lega Nord is stronger in Italy. This is the region in which Lega Nord was born about 25-30 years ago, and the party is explicitly against other people coming from other countries. So mm-hmm. it was interesting for Segre, who comes from this same region, and at the very beginning of his career made some documentaries on cultural aspects and the relationship mm-hmm. between the man and the city. Well, it's very interesting that a director like him, that comes from documentary, decides to analyze a setting like the one in Chioggia, trying to build a story which put together a general and universal aspect of life that is integrating, well, the relationship, the contact mm-hmm. between two different cultures, and something more personal, more intimate, more also poetic that the film yeah. raises. So, well, it's a very complex matter, and I guess for someone that doesn't come from Italy, it's very useful to know that the fact that the film tells a story in particular, like the one that the film tells, about China, not about other countries, because the Chinese community is very strong, very, very strong in Italy, and the phenomenon is you can see more and more Chinese people managing bars, mm-hmm. and it's quite strange, because sometimes happens in Italy that a specific culture and people coming from the same country start to have the same business in Italy.
That's very true. Yeah, you're right. That's a very good point. The culture and the settings, you know, is key on this film. And as we heard in the brief clip, I took actually a little excerpt from the Institute Avenida Toreros, and they said actually Io Sono Lì means that Lee wants to be part of the community, not to be ignored. And they said they were the only ones to raise, you know, to start it from the very title and kind of like seeing the message behind it. And Gonzalo, I also noticed that the students, you know, didn't struggle at all to identify their lives and you know, the knowledge that they have with the specific aspects that, you know, the Io Sono Lì takes. So, like, how did you see it? Like, the whole kind of analysis and the way to identify with this, both the characters but also the setting.
Okay, first of all, I need to say that my students didn't perceive the film as if it was a local reality compared to Simone's students. They all four films regarded immigration, and they looked as foreign to them as any other film. So Io Sono Lì wasn't different in that sense. I think that there are two main features that actually made my students, and in particular the students of Avenida Los Toreros, who mm-hmm. in my opinion were the ones that actually delivered the best in-depth analysis of all four films. All four films are related to immigration, so that makes that True. Probably they were able to focus more on different aspects and the different features that a director wants to put in a film, so that they could analyze it better in the fourth film rather than the first one. Mm-hmm. That on one hand. On the other hand, I think that these looked like the kinder, best appreciated film of all the four.
Yes,
and undoubtedly there was like a good push for them to analyze the film better, with a better spirit, and probably be more harsh and deep in what they had to say. For example, regarding the title, as you mentioned, or also the different scenes, whether they were appropriate or inappropriate, And for example, the images, I think this was the first film in which they actually delivered some kind of analysis on photography. The score as well. So, you know, all these features, in my opinion, made those deeper analysis possible.
Very true. Yeah, as you rightly said, this was widely recognized as the best films of the four. And I think I kind of liked Fred Ed School's harsh approach into leading the students into European cinema. So we started with very kind of culturally divided films, especially if you remember. And if you can recall the beginning with Illegal, and then also especially Plato's Academy, that film, and, you know, moving on to Eat, Sleep, Die, those films always had people that liked it, but most of the time they really couldn't take any appreciation in the film per se, but that moved them and kind of, you know, pushed them towards a rational and more insightful way of looking at films. So you can still analyze and gather thoughts and opinions from a film that you did not like at all. But I kind of like, you know, the sort of journey that then it ended with the climactic Io Sono Lì, which actually was a really good film, and probably, you know, I don't want to, of course, undermine Andrea Segre's work, but one of the most conservative structured films that we had out of these four. And therefore, then you have a lot of appreciation, as well as the rational analysis we've seen. And I wonder if you guys have, especially for regarding Spain and then Italy, if you agreed with this sort of structure, or you for next year, for example, you have some sort of takes how to also kind of excite their own analysis and their own ways to see films.
I really don't know, because I'm not a programmer myself, but I think that the fact that the films were much appreciated didn't make the students not analyze further and go sure. beyond that opinion about, you know, I like the film, I didn't like the film. They tried to analyze further, even though they disliked the film, which mm-hmm. was the case probably in the second and the third film. Illegal was more, there was a bigger division in that one. Mm-hmm. And Io Sono Lì was widely perceived as the best film. I think that for next year, if I can make a suggestion, which I'm not sure I could make it, but anyways.
Of course you can.
Anyways, I'd say that probably a kinder films would be better, because if mm-hmm. as far as film literacy is concerned, you don't need to bring films that are necessarily more difficult than what you need, just to, you know, develop the idea of appreciating how the audiovisual language works. Mm-hmm. You could do that with kinder films or stronger films. Illegal was a stronger film, but, you know, films that may bore the students, I don't think that's going to be very, that it's not going to make them enthusiastic about discovering new films and about delivering new opinions. So the more they like the films, I think the better.
Very true. And well, thank you, Gonzalo. Anyway, I cherish your opinion. And then Simone, please tell me your analysis.
Well, I am a programmer, as Gonzalo said, but I in the past I've enjoyed some trying to understand how let young people and not literated mm-hmm. audience and young students to film, and trying to bring them to a different conception of film, yeah. a different idea of film, because they have a very well, in Italy, in Rome, and in other regions, they have a particular idea of film. And if you go in the class and where people have never approached film, you ask what film is, you receive the widely different answer you can expect.
Sure.
So it's very interesting. I guess the sequence of the films was quite good, because they start. And I don't think that one of the approaches they can have to film is stronger or mm-hmm. more poetic, for example, because we went from the stronger film to the more poetic one. But yeah. I think one of the ratios, one of the criteria that can be considered when making a structure of film of a project is based on registers of communication, as I would say, and now I explain myself, because we went from Illegal, which was quite a literal film.
Yeah.
Well, you saw what the director wanted you to show, so there was a narration of something that was objectively strong and harsh. So mm-hmm. the students had to make a few steps forward in order to understand what the film was telling them. And then they went to Academia Platonus, which in a sense was quite the opposite because it was all symbolic. So you see the registers of communication are quite different. And it's very useful to pass from Illegal, which was a literal register-based film, to Academia Platonus, which was completely symbolic. And every part of the film had something like an apology of a country, of a piece of history of a country, and of culture and the people belonging to the culture. And then It's Sleep Die had was another provocation from a symbolic point of view that the students, especially in Italy, were very able to pick up, to see concerning language, because it was a radically extreme film from the language, from the point of view of language. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the last film was most complete among them, that put together everything and put the students in the conditions to make the last jump to poetry, because it was the only film really based on poetry. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why the path the students followed was quite good, because it brought them from a film that has several characteristics to a film that was completely different and had a stronger complexity from my point of view.
That's fantastic. Everything has been noted on my notebook, and I'm going to pass it on to the higher ranks of Fred Film Radio and Fred at School, of course. So next year, you're probably going to see your inputs being coming in live through the programming. So, you know, believe it or not, but you will be part of the programming. Thank you so much, though. Guys, both for Simone and Gonzalo, for being with us. Now we're going to stop by again for a little short break, and then back on into the thick of it with the director of Io Sono Lì.
Fred at School Show.
Fred Film Radio for Fred at School, and we're back. And as I mentioned in the previous little slot, yes, we have Andrea Segre, the director of Io Sono Lì, or as the English-speaking countries know it, Shun Lì and the Poet. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
So, Andrea, first thing first, we could, you know, talk about a lot about the film, but, you know, I just want you to hear the students' voices. In fact, we've shown your film to so many schools all around Europe in 8 different countries, and they expressed beautiful opinions about it. And, you know, now we just made a little clip for you and you can listen to it.
The movie was about Shun Lì, a Chinese worker in a cafe in Italy.
She needs money to pay back the cost of her way to Italy and enable her son to come to live with her.
But soon she meets an old fisherman called Beppe. Their relationship isn't accepted neither from the man's friend nor from the woman's boss.
This movie shows us how we all love and suffer in the same ways, no matter what.
Oh, it was really emotional, and it included like a lot of stereotypes of Italy and like some of the characters, and it just had a really moving storyline.
This is what we thought about the movie Io Sono Lì. Here we finish our episode for Fred at School!
There you go. With that enthusiasm from the Icelandic students, we're going back to Andrea. So Andrea, as you probably heard roughly 6-7 nationalities in there, spanning from Italy, of course, to Iceland, and moving on through France, Germany, Croatia, Romania, and Spain, of course. And overall, your film was incredibly well received, and it spawned a beautiful, beautiful discussion all around the classes. But I just want to hear from you how you conceived the film. Where was the first spark, and then how long did it actually take to make this film?
The first idea came to me when I met the real Shun Lì in the real Osteria, a wine bar where we shot the film. It happened 10 years ago, actually, and this Osteria is nearby the house of my grandparents, because my mother was born in Chioggia, the little island where we shot the film. I entered in this Osteria, and suddenly there was no more a Chioggia local waitress, but a Chinese one. And this change, which is actually a very important change in the small world of an Osteria, because Osteria is not simply a wine bar, is somehow a second house for the fishermen in Chioggia. This little change in this small world actually appeared to me as the very interesting metaphor of what was happening in Italy. And we started to work about the project starting from 2008 together with my producer Francesco Monsignante, and we needed 2 years to develop the film. Then we started to shoot at the end of 2010, and the film was actually released in Italy after the premiere in Venice Film Festival in September 2011, and then started to travel around the world, and it was distributed in more than 45 countries all around the world.
Yeah, I wanted to spend a couple of words regarding the casting, and if you had specifically these two actors in mind, or that was just a sort of, you know, a fortuitous case.
Actually, I didn't write the film having in mind the two actors, but when I started to cast, my first option for Chun-Li was Zhao Tao, because I was really impressed by the film Still Life by Zhao Zhengke, the film that won the Golden Lion in Venice in 2006, I think so.
Yes, you're right.
And I sent her the script, and actually she had never had an experience out of China at the time, and she loved the idea to have her first experience out of China. And then we started to think about the actor for Beppy, and at the beginning we were thinking to have a foreigner, but not an Italian foreigner, let me say, because in North Italy, if you are from South Italy, you are somehow a foreigner. So we were thinking about a Napoli or Sicilian fisherman. But then my aunt in Chioggia, she told me, no, I never seen a Napoli fisherman here around. If you are looking for a foreigner, you have to think about somehow coming, someone coming from the other side of the sea. It means Yugoslavia, it means Istria, and the first option I had in mind was Radichat Beja. He was working in Hollywood, in Los Angeles at that time, and my producer told me, you are crazy, it's impossible to have him. But I sent him a short script, and actually he phoned me back 2 days later.
Great.
And he told me, I loved this idea, I really want to come to Chioggia and to make the film. And we did it.
Fantastic. And it was really interesting to see how the students related to this sort of almost this relationship. Some of them had to accept that there must have been love between them. Some others also were incredibly open and just say that it was, of course, friendship. But I just wonder, like, how important for you was to keep this sort of ambiguity in a way. But yes, I just wondered if it was always intentional to have sort of ambiguity between the two.
Yeah, actually, I think I wanted to keep this ambiguity. And actually, it happened also to me when I showed the film to an audience of 14, 15 years old students. One of them, she asked me very clearly, as the kids are able to do, sorry, director, could you tell me if I can call this feeling a love or not, because I don't have a clear opinion. And this question actually is the question I wanted to reach. So sometimes it's really amazing to find a way not to give answer but to open question.
That's fantastic. It was really interesting to see that out of all the students, the one from UK, they actually brought up the idea of jealousy rather than the racial undertones about you know, the pseudo relationship between Beppy and Chun-Li. He actually said that, you know, the other people were just simply jealous. It wasn't about the idea of like mixture of the two cultures and the clash of the two cultures. And they also made almost, you know, made me think that it was even more universal seeing that way. And the other one, that he was from Spain, he actually, you know, they started simply from the title. And they said, Io sono Lee means that Lee wants to be part of the community and not to be ignored. And I just wanted, you know, just a little brief opinion about you, about these two little things from you.
I agree with the fact that the other fishermen in the Austria, they feel a sort of jealousy with Beppe, because not simply because Chun-Li is falling in love with him, but because he found a way to speak with Chun-Li. But I think, generally speaking, that jealousy is a very important part of racism.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
If you are racist against someone, it means that you didn't find a way to know the other, and you didn't find a way to know better yourself through the knowledge of the other. True. And so if you are scared, and when you don't find a way, you are scared. And a very rapid and a very rapid reaction when you are scared is to be against your fear, no? True. And so racism comes from this fear. About the title, it happens always to me that I find the title in the last days of the production. And actually the first title during the production was Chun-Li and the Poet, also right. In Italian, Chun-Li e Poeta. And then I thought about the fact that this title was somehow to, I don't know, in English, didascalico?
Didascalic.
It was simply describing the story of two persons. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find something more complex, and I got this idea of Io Sono Lì, which has really a lot of different direction, semantic direction. But the first one, the very important one, is the fact that we are listening a story of someone who is saying, I am. I am the one who wants to speak. I am the one who can speak. I am the one who can offer you a possibility of listening to something that normally you don't listen.
Thank you for being with us. It was really beautiful to have your film as part of our first year at Fred at School, and the students reacted wonderfully about it. Once again, thank you, and hopefully talk to you soon on Fred or Fred at School.
I hope so too.
Thank you, Andrea. And now we're going to stop, and we're going to be back for the last part of our show.
Fred at School Show.
And this is it. This is it. We're back again for the final chapter of our show here for Fred at School, for Fred Film Radio. Indeed, yes, get your hankies out, because we're about to say goodbye, but not really, because we're going to be back next year. But before that, as usual, I don't want you to suffer too much pain with my voice alone, so I've got here a very special guest, and he is Pablo Romero, expert of accessibility and also representative of one of our partners for Roehampton University. Welcome, Pablo.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, Pablo, finally we managed to talk, because you played a vital and international role into the making of the first year of Fred at School. In fact, if you can just outline it a bit for the audience, so what you did for us, and thank you very much for it, of course, and also about your expertise in Europe about accessibility.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me here. It was my contribution to the project consisted mainly of preparing the materials that were going to be used for film literacy in the different schools. So there were materials to be used by the teachers with the students, and also materials that were then recorded so that they were shown as clips, as radio clips. And the materials were basically dealing with basic issues to do with film literacy. The object of this, the objective, the aim of this, was to ensure that the students could learn what film language is, what surrounds the idea of making a film and the different types of films that are there, how the films are seen, how they are watched, and they could learn the basics so that when they do watch films, and indeed when they watched the films that they were supposed to watch, they could see not just the film as they normally see it, which is mostly focusing on the plot, but also reflect upon how the film could have been made and what's behind it, the intention of the filmmakers, etc. So the topics of the materials were divided into different units. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, we looked into how films are viewed by the public in different contexts. Then we looked into translation as well and accessibility to see how films are translated, how they are received in different countries, and how different countries choose different methods for translation. Then we also looked at the idea of discussing films, whether it's in cine clubs or in reviews, critiques, etc. Sure. We looked into different kinds of cinemas, as in the different genres that are there, and also the distinctions between films or cinema from different areas in the world, whether it's European, the United States, or Bollywood, for example.
Yeah.
Then we went a little bit more in detail into film language, looking at the different stages of pre-production, production, and post-production, and how they convey the vision of the filmmaker, if you like, in different ways. And then we looked at the professions of cinema as well, so the different professionals involved in the making of cinema. Yeah.
Well, that sounds tons of work. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yes.
But tell me, especially with, you know, with this sort of the body of work to present, and therefore let's call it a sort of the assimilation of the information that you gathered into then making these clips. Did you ever also kind of almost learn through the research itself things that you didn't expect?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we had to adapt at the beginning was, first of all, how to, I mean, part of what the materials are comprise is part of what I'm teaching here as well in an MA in film at Roehampton. But the most difficult thing, the most challenging aspect, was to adapt those materials to a radio context, and especially to the age of the students. So we're talking about secondary school students who are younger than 18 years old, actually. So there is a need for adaptation. You have to suit those materials to them, and from that point of view, we did have to modify or I did have to modify the focus of the material to make sure that they were interactive, even if they were only to be listened to by the students, and also that they were supported by links and by exercises as well that the teachers could use with the students, so that the whole thing could come a little bit more alive, and especially so that the students were not just passively receiving the material, but having to react to it and having to interact with it. I was very pleased to hear that in some schools, some of the teachers actually used the material with visual support. So they were playing the clips, and alongside that, they were showing a PowerPoint with different images. I mean, I tried to provide them whenever possible with images and with links as well. So I'm glad that this kind of was used like that by the teachers, because obviously it makes it a little bit more interesting for the students as well.
Yeah, in fact, one of the main, probably one of the main sort of challenges about this project, Fred at School, was the fact of kind of swiftly translating the visual prowess of filmmaking into then the assimilation into radio. But it was astonishing, actually, the ease with which the students adapted itself after just the first kind of experience, and out of those four film screenings, we've really seen an incredibly fast-paced development and sort of awareness about film language. And that was also definitely thanks to your clips and the sort of the way that they broadened their ways to look at films. As the last question, to broaden even more the aspect of accessibility, what do you think is the next step, both for our projects but also in a European kind of environment? What has to be done now for accessibility?
I think there are two different sides to the answer to that question. The first one is about the project, and I think the experience of the first year in FRED shows us that we are pretty much on the right track, and that great progress has been made. But I think with a view to the second year, it will be interesting, first of all, to expand and to enlarge the number of schools, so that we can reach other areas and other types of schools as well. So that would be very interesting. And from that point of view, I would also like to add something else. I'm not sure Federico will be happy with this because it will be more work. But now that we have seen that the students are very eager to learn film language, that is to become film literate because they have seen films for a long time, but now kind of a new side of it has opened in the sense that they can now understand a little bit more about how things are made. So the, what's behind what they are seeing, we can see that they are beginning to be literate in the sense that they can begin to, or they are beginning to understand film language. But in order to be fully literate in any language, it's important not only to understand that language, but also to speak the language.
Sure.
And I think it would be very, very interesting to actually allow the students to produce audiovisual content.
Yeah.
So in the same way that they have produced radio content and clips, it would be interesting to give them the opportunity to just make little films. I think that would be very interesting, and it would actually be in line with some of the film literacy projects that are being done throughout the world. There's one in Brazil, for example, where schools from all over Brazil, secondary school, they're being given very basic steps as to how to make a film, and they're just going for it. So I think that side of things, the ability to be able to speak film language as well as understand it would be very interesting. Then we would, of course, ask them to make those films accessible, which I think would be quite interesting, or at least to try to do that so that they can learn the practice as well as the theory. In terms of research in Europe and film literacy and accessibility in Europe, what we are looking into these days is that the quantity of accessibility is growing, but we need to make sure that the quality grows alongside the quantity. And for that, we are pushing for a new initiative called Accessible Filmmaking, which contemplates the fact that although accessibility it is happening now, it's normally happening at the end of the process when the film has been made and when no more contact is had with the filmmaker. So when the film is being distributed, then it's also being made accessible and it's being translated.
Yeah.
Our purpose in this case, our aim, is to make sure that both translation and accessibility happen before the film is completely finished and ready for distribution. I think the first examples of this initiative are showing that the quality of the end result of the film is much better, and it's a way in which the filmmakers ensure that their vision is maintained not only in the original film, but also in the films that are translated and made accessible.
Which, exactly, yeah, I think that's so much needed in the film world. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pablo, for being with us.
No.
And of course, I'm going to be seeing you and talking to you for the next year at Fred at School.
Thank you very much. Thank Bye-bye. You.
And after thanking Pablo from Roehampton University, well, it's time also to thank all the other partners that made this beautiful experience called Fred at School possible. And so we start from the universities, such as the University of Barcelona, of course, in Spain, as well as Babes Bolyai in Romania, then Ajaccio Torino in Italy, Les Amis du Cinéma de Réel in France, Tofra Lampin from Iceland, Festival de Cannes, but as usual, be careful about the spelling, CANS for Spain, HRT, of course, from Croatia, Subti Limited for Great Britain, and My Movies and Venice Days, Italy, Claudia Tomasini and Associates from Germany, Subti Access from Italy again, and also, of course, our beautiful sponsors, such as the Regione Autonoma della Sardegna and Sardegna Film Commission. So, yes, this is it. This is the very, very end of the fourth and final episode of Fred at School International Show. But don't worry, you just need to wait for just a tiny bit until school starts again. And then we're going to be back for more films, more schools, more countries, for a new edition of Fred at School.